you for this evening. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your peace. Thank you that we have the revelation of your word available to us. So as we study tonight, we study Christ, and we study all the riches that Christ has made available. Thank you, Lord, that these men and women are strengthened with might by your spirit, refreshed by the will of God. As we study tonight, the entrance of your word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. So we rejoice that by the end of this session, we'll all be the better for it. We give you praise for answered prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, once again, our vision is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. That's a vision that drives us all the time. That's a vision that keeps us excited always. And that is what we'll focus on making available to the ends of the earth, bringing men into their fullness in Christ Jesus, and building an army of men and women everywhere that will manifest the days of Jesus Christ. So once again, I welcome you to the class, and I'm excited. Pastor Shaw, our last class was week 40, right? What Bible teaching is not.
Yes, sir.
So today we're looking at week 41, Paul, Timothy, and Titus. How to mentor younger ministers. That's what we're looking at from today. That's what we're examining today. How to mentor younger ministers. Paul, Timothy, and Titus. How to mentor younger ministers. The objective of today's class is to understand what the focus of mentoring should be, either as a mentee or the mentor. To understand what the focus of mentoring should be, either as a mentee or mentor. So in instructing the younger minister, in this case, Timothy and Titus, Paul's major focus was preservation of truth or preservation of doctrine. That's a major focus. The preservation of doctrine or the preservation of truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 10, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 10, Paul will tell Timothy, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 10 says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So Paul instructed Timothy to ensure scriptures are well interpreted. It is improper interpretation of scripture that falsehood is exposed. So he wanted Timothy to make sure that scriptures are well interpreted and falsehood is exposed. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he says to Timothy, a bishop then must be apt to teach. So a leader must be apt, able, and skillful at teaching. A leader must be apt, he must be able and skillful at teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says to Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So Paul warned against teachings of diverse doctrine. Not teaching itself, but diverse doctrine. Diverse doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, now, and if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 4, 6, he spoke about good doctrine. Good doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give attendance to teaching. Give attendance to teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul will say to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. Then in 1 Timothy 4:16, where he says, you shall save yourself and they that hear thee, to truly save the flock from all sorts of falsehood, you must give yourself to doctrine. To truly save the flock from all sorts of falsehood, you must give yourself to doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Brother Paul will say to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. So elders are to be seen teaching laboriously. Elders are to be seen teaching laboriously. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 3. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. 1 Timothy 6, 3. If any teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So if you observe, the emphasis is doctrine, doctrine. So doctrine must be preserved. Doctrine must be preserved. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to sound teaching. Hold fast. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, and the things that thou hast learned or heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Commit this to men who will teach them. Commit this to men who will teach them. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Apt to teach and patient. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So the servant of God must be able to teach and correct others with sound doctrine. The servant of God must be able to teach and correct others with sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So all scriptures are given for doctrine. All scriptures are given for doctrine. And this says it all. True doctrine, therefore, is to rightly divide the word of truth. true doctrine is to rightly divide the word of truth, not bulldoze your way with stories and testimonies, in bracket called results. True doctrine is to rightly divide the word of truth, not to bulldoze your way with stories and testimonies called results. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the true test of a minister. He must be able to rightly divide the word of truth. That's the true test of a minister. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So even when men are not listening, do not go seeker sensitive. Stick to the doctrine. Stick to the message. Paul did, and he kept the faith. He kept the faith. And that word faith there refers to doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The issue of emphasizing doctrine is so much to Timothy that it cannot be underplayed today. If you observe, most of the scriptures we read from Timothy are all doctrine, 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 doctrine all over the place. Now, same thing to Titus. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He must hold fast. He must not give heed to falsehood or intimidation. He must teach sound doctrine. A minister must teach sound doctrine, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince against sayers. Titus 1:9. Then Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which now become sound doctrine. You cannot sidestep the place of correct application of scriptures. You cannot sidestep the place of correct application of scriptures. It's deadly and it's very misleading. If you observe, Paul's relationship with Titus and Timothy had much to do with the common doctrine he taught. The common doctrine he taught, which they also taught. Because in Titus chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 7, Titus chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 7, he says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 7, in all things showing themselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Also elderly and young men. If you look at Titus chapter 2, verse 10, Paul will tell Titus, not pollinating, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, and for all too. So we must adorn the doctrine of God. We cannot claim to be meeting needs using scriptures dishonestly. We cannot claim to be meeting needs using scriptures dishonestly. That is utter nonsense. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, but I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The ministry of the church is built on teaching, properness of doctrine. The ministry of the church is built on teaching, properness of doctrine. It saves the flock, as Paul instructed Timothy. It saves the flock. This is the apostolic practice. Because in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The word steadfastly stands out. Look at Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves in the church and taught much food. And disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They taught much people. Take note of that. They taught much people. If results of numbers, money, spread, societal influence are more important to you, I suggest you either learn ministry from the following ministries. Let me repeat so that I can get my flow. Pay attention. This is very deep. What I'm about to say is very deep and high at the same time. Weighty. Deep, deep, like deep. If results of numbers, largest church in Africa, biggest church in Nigeria, I pastor the largest church in Europe, and then money, and then spread. We have branches everywhere. Societal influence are more important to you. I will suggest you learn ministry from number one, Watchtower Mission, also known as JW, Jehovah's Witness. If results of numbers, money, spread, and societal influence are more important to you, I suggest learn ministry from JW, Jehovah's Witness, Watchtower Mission, WTM. I met a woman in Abuja here at the Hilton. Immediately she saw me. She just stood up and came and sat where I was sitting with them, my pastors, to greet me. She shouted, "You are a very stubborn man, very, very stubborn man." So I'm like, which one is this one? I'm meeting you for the first time, and the way you're greeting me is you're a very stubborn man. Then she now said, "Can I have your number?" I said, "Who are you?" She said, no, I want us to have a Bible study. I am the CEO of a particular company," she mentioned. Then she said, "But I'm a member of JW. I said, "Okay, you want me and you to have Bible study?" She said, "Yes, that we're doing a stadium crusade. So that's why we're in Abuja. I'm a member of JW. Immediately she said, "I'm a member of JW. I wanted to say Jesus is God. Then I said, "She will say this, your stubbornness is serious." So I ignored her, gave her my number, and I walked away. I'm waiting for the day she will ask me to come, let's do Bible study. She will hear water. It's her Bible I will use to teach her. It's her Jehovah's Witness Bible I will use to show her that Jesus is God. I won't even bring King James, her own Watchtower Bible. The one they remove all the scriptures that talk about the deity of Christ. They are not smarter. You know, the Bible is the most intelligent book on earth. They have removed everything, but I will still teach her that Jesus is God from her Bible like that. Anyway, but Jehovah's Witness, all jokes apart, it started in 1870. And it is everywhere in the world. You know how many members they have? As at a few years ago, 8.2 million members, Jehovah's Witness. You know how much they make every year as their yearly revenue as a church? 2001, they made $950 million. And they don't receive tithes. They don't raise funds. They don't receive seed. They just take offering. And in 2001, their yearly revenue was $950 million. That's about $1 billion. Yet no tithe. And they spent $80 million of their money, $80 million on missions. That's what they spend every year. $80 million on missions. They have 108,000 branches. 108,000 Did I say 818,000 branches in 125 nations? 118,000 branches in 125 missions. They have their Bible in over 120 languages. They have their Bible in over 120 languages. And their net worth is well over $4 billion. I mean, $40 billion. Their net worth is well over $40 billion. The members of Jehovah's Witness include prime ministers of nations, presidents of multinational corporations, etc. So if you're looking for numbers, you're looking for influence, you're looking for money, you want to do a ministry that is like owning an entire world government, go and be mentored by JW. Or learn ministry from Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. That Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints started 1830. They are in 176 nations. 176 nations. Their membership is 15 million. They have 28,000 branches. 28,000 branches. And they have arguably one of the most exquisite brand of buildings for worship globally. Anywhere you see that Mormon church, they are the same. They build the same thing everywhere. They have 85,000 missionaries. 85,000. These Mormons, they have 85,000 missionaries. Every year they donate to charity $100 million. Every year their donation to charity. And their net worth is over $80 billion. Their net worth is over $80 billion. These two above cited ministries that I just cited, they disrespect Bible interpretation. They have no respect for Bible interpretation. Yet they have results to prove. They have results to prove with their error leading millions of people astray. So if a man is bound by carnal things and not the truth that is revealed in scripture, claiming it is not about doctrine, it's not about doctrine, it's about results. Give us the results. Leave all this doctrine. Show your results. Those are the kind of examples to follow. Anyone telling you doctrine is not important has disrespected Paul and the apostles. He has disrespected Paul and the apostles and is either ignorant or dishonest. And those who cheer such heretic influence are either stupid, or brainwashed. One guy in my city, if he wants to say stupid, he will say stupid. Stupid. When he's laughing at churches where they do all kinds of titan things, after he has put them on his social media page, at the end he will say stupid. He writes in a way to really pain you. You know? So anybody who cheers such heretic influences, either stupid or brainwashed. 2 Timothy 2:15 again says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So through mentoring, if you're really mentoring people or you're being mentored well, is focused on doctrine, not crowds, doctrine. Not crowds that can be surpassed at Emirates Stadium or the Hajj or property that the world has in countless members. True mentoring focuses on doctrine. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak now the things. Speak now the things. which becomes sound doctrine. Of course, the gospel reaches crowds, but does not use error to do this. The gospel reaches crowds, but does not use error to do this. You must set your sail and beware of not being diligent with the scriptures. Beware of not being diligent with the scriptures in the bid to acquire wealth and influence. In the bid to acquire wealth and influence, as some do heed Paul's counsel. In the bid to acquire wealth and influence, as some do heed Paul's counsel. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. But they that will be rich into temptation, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things, man of God, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You must stay on course. God will increase in your work. He will cause you increase in your work and supply your needs without you compromising the truth of his word. God is faithful. He will meet your needs. He will confirm his word without you compromising. Just study enough, pray enough, and contend for the supernatural as you reach out to the lost with the gospel of his son. The gospel is the gospel of his son. No hurries, no haste. Allow the future to brought itself. Let the future birth itself. Let the future birth itself. Glory to God. Father, thank you for this class tonight. Thank you for every student of this academy. Thank you for this time that we'll continue to share and continue to learn and continue to be equipped. Thank you that the light is shining. Our hearts are totally transformed. Our commitment to you has no part too well. Totally sold out to you, Christ. Sold out to your mission and mandate on earth. And thank you that you're making resources available to us every day. We're growing, we're learning, we're being equipped. I pray for this mentoring class, that every student of this academy is a battle axe in your hand, a weapon of war in your hand. With these great men and women, you will shake the world. The gospel will be preached like never before. And you will confirm your word in their mouth with signs, wonders, and miracles. I decree that each one of you is kept, you are preserved. You are far from oppression. The wicked one cannot touch you. You continue to enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. It is well with you. Great grace is upon you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. All right, question for today. There's only one question on today's assignment. One. What is the focus of true mentoring of a minister? That's the only question. What is the focus of true mentoring of a minister? What is the focus of true mentoring of a minister? That's the assignment for this week. Praise God. I'm ready for your questions. Pastor Sheryl, that's it from me for now.